Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
Welcome to Moving Averages, a new financial podcast from Vox Markets. This series will feature expert market analysis, interviews with top traders and commentators, and much more to bring you fresh insights into the world of finance.
Welcome to the Vox Markets podcast. Today we've got 50 Pips, a full-time independent Forex trader and mentor. He's been dubbed a financial expert within his sector and is widely followed throughout his Twitter account, with InterTrader publication naming him as a top follower for invaluable insight into the global markets. Thanks for coming on today, 50 Pips. Why don't you start by telling the listeners a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, again, I always thank you for having me on. I mean, just simply, I'm a private trader. I mainly trade my own account. I focus on Forex and futures. And on the side, I also offer some services basically focusing on highlighting market dynamics, context, and how to structure trade possibilities around that. But, you know, essentially, I'm a private trader.
Great. And do you only trade in Forex, or do you also trade in indices, futures, and stock futures?
Yeah, I'm mainly both. I think it depends on the market cycle we're in and what's going on. But the bulk of my trades, 90%+, is going to be Forex and futures. And depending on the time of the year, what's going on, it might be more Forex and or more, you know, indices, spoos, you know, might be some crude oil, might be some gold, depending if there's a interesting point. But
right,
predominantly indices and Forex.
Okay, great. And you spoke about depending on the time. How do you find the current times?
Great.
the current volatility and
may it long continue. It's great. It's awesome. I mean, finally, we've got a situation where the market, especially in the indices, is just not a little grind higher with no real vol and starting to see moves. So as you know, I've been going on about it on Twitter. This is, if you're an experienced trader, this is your time to shine, right? This is where, if you know what you're doing, you need to be making your ear. It's been hard the past because we haven't had that much volatility. So,
right.
As they say, you have to, what is it, bale hay when the sun is shining, make hay when the sun is shining.
Right.
So,
yeah.
It's great. It's great.
Does your strategy differ from when you're trading Forex than when you're trading indices? Or do you have a very similar strategy when it comes to both?
Yeah, not really. I mean, for me, really, what the chart is about, what the price is. So whether it's a wheat chart, a shrimp futures chart, pork bellies chart, euro chart, doesn't really matter to me. What's interesting is the what price is doing and how I can take advantage of what price is doing.
Right.
Naturally, I prefer stuff which is liquid with very tight bid-ask spread, but fundamentally, it'll be it's very similar. The main difference I would say is that on the future side, mainly related to the last hour of trade on the indices, it's more tactical, more scalping, right? More opportunistic, playing on those last hour flows.
Right.
But essentially, it's the same charts, it's the same chart template, and the same fundamentals I'm looking at, you know.
Okay, great. And just to bring it back, how did you get into trading? How did it all start for you? Was there a particular age you started trading in the markets, and what time in your life did you start transitioning to full time trading?
I mean, I've been interested in trading since I was a teen, and you know, reading. Started with a kind of value approach, you know, reading all the Warren Buffett books, and then naturally got dragged into, you know, reading all the books about hedge funds, hedge fund participants, and stuff like that. So I've always been pretty much trading. And as soon as I was old enough to open my own account, I was placing trades. So it slowly progressed, and I was trading while I was holding corporate jobs, etc. And then I just, you know, got to a phase where I needed to give it a stab, right? I needed to give it a stab to go full time.
Right.
It's just what I really wanted to do. And I knew I would deeply regret it. So I thought, you know, I'd always go back to corporate life since it was going very well if it didn't work out. But I just transitioned. But I mean, that would probably be a couple of long podcasts, the whole transition.
Really?
I slowly moved into it.
Okay, I see. So you had a full-time job at the time and you decided to take the plunge and see where it took you.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the freedom an independent trader has over someone who trades at an institution or works for a prop desk at a big company?
I think that's probably the biggest lie that's propagated on Instagram and all the, you know, wannabe traders. The worst thing can possibly be, you know, it's like trade from the beach, trade doing what all this, you know, there's no freedom, right? Let's be clear about this. And, you know, it might be controversial or it might, you know, some people might not like it, but the truth is, you know, this is a job, right? Yeah. This is a job. This is serious business.
Right.
It's probably the hardest thing you're ever going to try to do. And you're not going to just, you're not just going to wake up and read two books and do it. It takes years. So the freedom is on one side, and I'm the first one to say it's great because you can work your own hours. You can be geographically mobile, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all true, right? You can trade whenever you want from wherever you want. You can dictate your times.
Right.
But that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin, which people don't like to talk about it, is that essentially, whether you want to admit it or not, we're all slaves to the markets because essentially you have to be a bit of a junkie to do this full time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it means that you're always looking at the market. You know, you wake up in the middle of the night to go to the loo and, you know, you check what the spoos are doing.
Right? Yeah.
And you're always wondering what's going on. So you never really, at least for myself, let me speak for myself, you never switch off until Friday when the bell closes until Sunday. But even over the weekend, you're thinking about what's going on. So, you know, and that brings a whole lot of things into play about how to balance your life, et cetera. But, and you can manage it, but I think it's ultimately people get into it because they think it's freedom. But I suspect that for 99.9% of the people, that ends up consuming far more of your life than any corporate job would ever consume.
Absolutely, especially if you're holding large positions and you're just thinking about them overnight.
Yeah, but again, I mean, even if, you know, what I always say, if you think about your position when you're sleeping, it's too big, right? But even if you're flat, right? If you do this seriously all the time and you're passionate about this, it consumes you, I think, right?
Right.
And, but sure, it's, you know, you do have more freedom, but that's a fact. You know, there's a certain time you want to go see your kid do something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you really want to, you shut down your positions, you're flat and you leave.
Right? Yeah.
You need to do something in the middle of the day. If you really need to do it, you flat up and you go. You miss an opportunity. You know, people are going to say, oh, I can't leave because I could have made X amount if I didn't leave. Yeah, but you could have lost X amount if you stayed. So
that is true.
You do have the freedom to choose. But as I said, it starts off with you have a lot of freedom to choose, but I think it slowly degenerates into you don't take advantage of that freedom most of the time.
that's
what happens, I think.
So what do you think makes a good foreign exchange trader or a good indices trader, in your opinion? What kind of person does it suit?
Yeah, you know, I think it's whether you're talking about good forex trader, good indices trader. Yeah, I think it's just essentially it's trader. It's the same, right?
Right.
Of
yeah.
Of course, there might be, nothing is black or white. There's always shades of gray, but In terms of, I think most people will say, especially on Forex, they'll say they want to talk about the fundamentals, macro aspects. And of course, all these things can help. Like can, you know, doing a good course on I don't know, CMT course, whatever, anything can help. But I think ultimately what makes a good trader is being able to have realistic expectations, doing things in a professional manner, mm-hmm. and sticking to the rules, whatever those may be. If there aren't any, you got your answer there. You should be trading. But I mean, and most importantly is doing this day in, day out, come rain or come shine. You know, effective trading or trading essentially is really boring. You know, the interesting stuff is prepared ahead of time. But once you know what you're going to do, essentially what I say, you're kind of like one of those project designations. You know, you're just a project implementation specialist. Yeah. You just get up and you wait for certain things to happen at a certain location. Mm. And then you react by implementing a set number of variables that you've defined. And that's pretty boring in itself. And the difference is that you have to do that in a professional manner with realistic expectations and day in, day out. And most people, they start with unrealistic expectations. They don't have any real understanding of what the consequences of what they're doing are going to have. They don't have a good set of rules. They don't stick to them. And most importantly, they don't show up day in, day out, come rain or come shine. And I think that could be difficult also for a private trader because, you know, you don't have the context of a boss, of a risk manager that you have to show up, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
I don't have a problem with that because I'm pretty hardcore with that in terms of discipline. And so I'm very methodical. I'm a creature of habit but you have to just keep on doing it. You have to keep on doing it, keep on doing it, keep on doing it. Right.
Right.
No matter what happens, and always in a consistent manner. If you don't do things consistently, you can't expect to have any kind of consistency in your results, of course.
Right. And would you say that it's sort of mastering yourself and being self-aware in order to become sort of a professional mindset in trading? Is that the best way to go about it?
I mean, it's you know, and there are a lot of buzzwords now. People like to talk. I need to center myself. I need to meditate. I read to master. I read green, etc. All these things. But essentially, it's, you know, let's be frank. It's not different to any other serious profession done well at a high level.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like you see. You know, people see somebody posting a picture of them doing a double backflip or some athlete doing something or some skilled person doing, and they just see a snippet, right? And everybody only wants to consume things in 140 characters or a 5-second video. But, or they look at what people are doing on Instagram or they post a couple of trades, but they don't know what's behind that, right?
Right.
And what's behind that is just, you know, a lot of hard work, a lot of trial and error, a lot of boring repetition with culminates to that. So, you know, it's really important that you have to be able to put in the work and do things properly. What a lot of people don't I don't know if you're into fitness or strength training, but there's somebody who's known as the kettlebell guy, which is Pavel Tsatsulin or something. I'm sure I pronounced that wrong, right?
Yeah.
And one of the difficult one of the difficult lifts to do is overhead press. People really struggle with core strength on overhead press and improving the press. Mm-hmm. And it's a funny thing because when they ask Pavel, they always ask people, what exercise can I do? What assistant exercise I can do to get a better overhead press? Mm-hmm. He always says in his Russian accent, which is, you know, he always says, to press a lot, you must press a lot.
Right. But he's got a point.
And it's to be good at trading and to you have to spend a lot of time in front of the screens and you have to log in a lot of trades. Now, one of the biggest caveats to that, which should be self-evident but is usually lost on a lot of people, is that if you practice the wrong way, you're pretty much wasting time. If you're sitting on the golf range and you're practicing, you know, you could hit 3,000 balls a day. If you do it with crappy technical the wrong way, it's not going to help you. Actually, it's just going to ingrain bad habits. Right. And it's the same thing a lot of traders say, at 50, I've been looking at charts 20 hours a day for X years. I got all these indicators. I go, okay, do you know what price did in relation to yesterday's range? Oh, I don't look at that. Well, you know.
That's the most basic.
Yeah, you're wasting your time. People don't want to hear that. Or they say, man, I'm so committed. You know, I'm holding down three jobs and every night I trade from 2 to 4 in the morning. I don't sleep at all. I trade from 2 to 4. And I'm like, yeah, man, but it's just you and a couple of guys. There's just nobody trading. You can't, there's no point, right? So that's why I always go back. I sound boring, but you have to have realistic expectations and you have to know the business. You have to know what you're doing. You know, have to know what the different time zones are. You need to know what times the market is more liquid. You need to know what you're trying to do. If you're trying to trade, you have to have some basic understanding of leverage, trying to understand what that does. You know, most people, when they start with realistic, most people would save themselves a lot of monetary pain, a lot of psychological pain, a lot of relationship pain, a lot of pain in general. Mm-hmm. If they just applied very simple maths to what they're trying to do. Right. I'm trying to trade a $1,000 account and I'm trying to make $5,000 a month. Right? I decided, because I saw somebody on Twitter, it looked pretty cool. I decided I'm going to trade a ZB future and I'm going to trade it on my $5,000 account because I found a FX broker that let me open a futures account with $5,000. Well, it ain't going to happen, right? It ain't. So you have to understand the basics. You need to do what you have to understand what you're trying to do. You have to be realistic with your expectations and then grind it out.
Right.
But this is the sad thing. Most people don't make it, not because they were destined to not make it, simply because they never really have a chance, because they never stack the odds or the against them. They trade too big. They trade the wrong instrument. They trade the wrong time of day. They fail. It's almost like they can only fail, right? But it's not because they're stupid. It's not because, it's simply because they haven't set themselves up properly. That's all.
Right. They sort of set themselves up to fail instead of starting from a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. That's which is crazy expectations. But, and you'd be surprised, the smartest people, you know, I've talked to people over the years, you know, guys who've taken companies public on NASDAQ, et cetera, and then decided to start trading.
Right.
And they're thinking about, oh, I think I'm going to make that. I'm like, hey, man, you know, just do the maths. I'm like, look, what would that imply you have to make every day? Expand that out to a couple of, oh, yeah, okay, sorry. You know, because people just get sidetracked because of the flashing lights, because they've seen Wall Street, because they think it's cool, because they hear 24/7, which is the biggest lie that's ever, it's not. There's specific times where you want to trade. The market is open pretty much 24/7, Sunday to Friday, but it doesn't mean
it's not tradable.
Yeah. Mm. But everybody has this image, oh, it's cool. I got 12 screens in front of me. I'm sipping the Red Bull or the Monster Energy. I'm never sleeping. I'm moving flows. You know, all these, you know, when you're doing, I'm fighting flows. No, you're not with your three contracts. You know, but it's not their fault, because even myself, when I was, it's a normal progression, but you have to realize that the whole industry, et cetera, is again, not nice, but it's the truth. The whole industry is there to sell you a dream, and the people that are theoretically trying to help you are people that only make money from your commissions or selling you stuff, do not really make money from you being successful.
Right.
So it's natural, unless you're smart enough or awake enough to realize at a point, this is a lie, right? Yeah, it's not, you know. But again, for some reason, if somebody comes up to you and says on the street, you know, I don't know, hey, you wanted this deal, you want to buy this, it's going to make your arms grow, it's going to make your hair grow back. People think, no way. But you got somebody telling you, hey, you want to put $100 here, I'm going to sell you an indicator, you're going to be the next George Soros. Sure, why not? I'll have two, right? So just for some reason, our brain just kind of goes wacko when you talk about money and stuff. And
yeah.
So it's normal to have that to a certain extent, but it's important to snap out of it. And I think all the flashing platforms, all this, the industry just does absolutely nothing to promote a serious, responsible view of this as a business. And, you know, probably it's because, you know, they make money off you blown up. And on the other side, the bigger industry loves for people not to be able to do it because they can say, you see, it's too complicated. Right. Give me your money. Yeah. It's way too complicated. Give me your money. I'll charge you some fees and I'm just going to buy the SPY. Yeah, right.
Right. And just sit and hold.
So especially the way the markets have become now, right?
Yeah. Over the past 9 years, that's a strategy that most of the big institutions can do and say, hey, look, give us your fees. Well, yeah, I completely agree with you. So you, with your wealth of knowledge at the moment, you offer mentorship to some clients. I understand.
I don't really mentor students anymore. I used to. I just because I'm a one man show, and right. I'm really not interested to run a mentoring service. I'm not interested to travel the world and do weekend gigs.
Right.
You know, in hotels. I want to spend time with my family and have fun. Yeah. And I'm predominantly a trader. That's the way I pay the bills, really.
Right.
So since I can't, I still have some students which were from, you know, years ago, which I was mentoring, which of course I'm going to continue to mentor until I do this. Mm-hmm. But a couple of years ago, I came to the realization, you know, it's not what I want to do. I don't want to create a mentoring business, and I just don't have time, and I need to trade. So there's only that many hours in the trade. You know, I trade it from London Open pretty much into London, into New York close. So, you know, you do the math, right?
Yeah, that's the majority of the day.
Yeah, so what I thought is just, and then, you know, mentoring is also not efficient if you really want to help somebody, because if I have to give somebody 1 hour of my time, for most people starting off, that's going to be a lot of money. And I don't want to charge that. Okay. So just to make it interesting to me, it would have to be kind of a lot. And I don't want to charge that. So what I do is through the blog, I post blog posts every day. I try and post videos and stuff on Twitter just to pay it forward. And then the easiest way to try and help people is on the blog. I have, I have a daily webinar. I do a 1 hour live webinar every day.
Right.
And then I have a service where I send video outlooks out when something really interesting is shaping up and there's a good swing in play or something interesting is happening, or there's something complex going on in the market, which I think it's interesting to explain.
Yeah.
And that's easier because first of all, I think it's accessible to most people. Mm-hmm. The video updates, I can always find 5 minutes, 15 minutes to record an update during the day and send it out. Mm-hmm. And then the daily webinar I do into New York Open, to be honest, it really helps me too.
Yeah.
Because if you're by yourself in front of the screens, it's very easy to get sidetracked and get biased. Mm-hmm. And what that does is not only it gives me a chance to really frame my ideas and explain it, and it also becomes closer clearer to me, but it keeps me very accountable. So because what we do in the webinar is of course I call all my trades, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But for me, the point is I'm trying to explain what I think is going on, and at all times, two sides of the coin. What are the bears thinking? What are the bulls thinking? Mm-hmm. How would you trade this to the short side? How would you trade this to the long side? And it's a repetitive process that is really good for me too, to keep it sharp, right?
Right. I think that's a great idea. The way to keep yourself accountable by explaining your trades before going through. Because you do get biased if you're just by yourself.
Yeah. And you'd be surprised how many times in the past, you know, I'd be talking through stuff and somebody go, hey, 50, you know, why did you just say that? I'm like, I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, it's just automatic, right?
Right.
And then I'm like, okay, let's say, and then they'll go, 50, I can't say I don't know. So it's like, hey, 50, why'd you just say that? I'm like, Okay. You see, this is going on in USDCNH. Look at the how gold is reacting right there. Mm-hmm. If you look at the way this is happening, then I think that it's probably setting up this. So if you want to be aggressive, that's why I said take a look at that. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, okay, cool. And I'm like, wow, look at all the stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
Because you don't realize, right? You've been doing this for so long. And essentially, it's always the same movie. What I say tell people is always the same movie. It just has kind of different endings or different variables. So the more screen time you have, the more of these different scenes you have in your memory bank. And the more you do it, the better you are at understanding the context. So you can pull back from your memory bank all these different scenarios and how things tend to play out. So, you know, if they're playing out how you've seen them before, then likely this is going to happen. If they're not, well, then you probably need to watch out. You know, it's just it's a big puzzle, right? And automatically you're processing a lot of stuff. And sometimes to talk through it, it really helps. Not, of course, it helps the people, but it also helps me.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your time. I've really enjoyed listening to you and talking to you about your strategies and your insights into trading.
My pleasure.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.